There's a stereotype about lawyers that they're cold and calculating, and they're often portrayed that way in film and TV. But remember the 1997 classic Australian film The Castle? In that movie, the bumbling suburban solicitor Dennis Denuto argued in court that Darrell Kerrigan's house should not be bulldozed to make way for an airport runway. Well, a real-life lawyer was so offended when he was called Dennis Denuto from Ipswich, he sued for defamation. Damien Carrick has more.
In summing up, it's the Constitution, it's Mabo, it's justice, it's law, it's the vibe, and that's it, it's the vibe. I rest my case.
When Kenneth Craig Leake offhandedly dismissed his former father-in-law as, quote, Dennis Denuto from Ipswich, the solicitor turned around and sued him. Brett Clayton Smith argued that comparisons with Dennis Denuto implied he was unprofessional, foolish and incompetent. But Professor David Rolfe from the University of Sydney says the court ultimately didn't like the vibe of the plaintiff's case.
Mr. Smith is a solicitor in Queensland, and he has brought defamation proceedings recently against a former family member of his, so his daughter-in-law's ex-husband, in relation to an email and some conversations in which he was described as Dennis Denuto.
The famous Dennis Denuto, the lovely, bumbling, well-meaning lawyer from that Australian film classic, The Castle.
Yes, and so this case has a meditation upon what does it mean if you call a solicitor a Dennis Denuto.
As I understand it, this Mr. Brett Clayton Smith was acting in a protracted family law dispute for his daughter-in-law, and it was in Mr. Smith's exchanges with his daughter's ex-husband, and also in her exchanges with her ex-husband, that this insult was hurled, calling him Mr. Dennis Denuto.
Yes, that's right. They were very basic, low-level, everyday interactions, really. So there was an email in question which was initiated by Smith, and then there were subsequently, I think, two conversations between two or three people at most. And it was in that context that this litigation arose.
The lawyer took the defendant to court and he demanded $250,000 in damages. The Queensland District Court recently ruled against the lawyer on the grounds that, well, the whole case was trivial.
One of the defences to defamation is triviality, that in the circumstances of publication, the publication is such that it's unlikely to cause any harm to your reputation. And so here, because this was communicated amongst a group of family members or people who were formerly family members, because it was a very limited publication to those people, the judge here was satisfied that in the circumstances of publication, Mr. Smith was unlikely to sustain any harm to his reputation, and so there was a complete defence here.
Of course, we're talking about conversations involving two or three people and one email from one person to another. Private conversations, essentially, but they're now everywhere in the media. The judge said, quote, it was the plaintiff who, by making the claim, called an airstrike on his position. Mm-hmm. Once the pleadings were filed in court, they were in the public domain and liable to be published through various media, end quote. It's an incredible irony.
Yes, and one of the interesting things I think about defamation judgments is that judges are increasingly stating their sort of awareness that in fact a significant proportion quite often of damage to the plaintiff's reputation is done simply by the defendant's step of deciding to sue for defamation, because of course once you go to a court, courts are public institutions, so they're open to the public, they're open to the media to report on. And so they legal proceedings get publicity, and defamation cases quite often get publicity because of the nature of the sorts of things that are being sued upon and the identity of the people who are involved. And of course, that's not a harm that's referable to the defendant's conduct. That's really a decision, a forensic decision by the plaintiff to sue. And so an aspect of reputational harm quite often sort of flows from the plaintiff's decision to sue for defamation. And so paradoxically, you know, a defamation proceeding is often not the best way to actually protect or vindicate your reputation if you're concerned about the harm that's actually done because of the publicity of a court proceeding. You may sort of augment or increase the harm to your reputation done by the defendant's initial publication.
It's the vibe, Your Honour. That's Professor David Rolfe. He's a defamation expert, and you can hear more about the Dennis Denuto legal case and whether or not it should ever have actually reached the court on The Law Report with Damien Carrick this afternoon at 5:30 right here on RN.